We'd like to thank our sponsor, SLC Guitar, for another sweet guitar riff. Welcome to another episode of Build with Breen Holmes, where we talk all things construction, business management, and just have a good old time behind the microphone.
You know, so number one for me, border control. Border control is huge. Listen, I am all for immigration and done legally. That's what we're trying to get after, you know, but current threats of, listen, we're going to go in and we're going to use the military to just deport and get rid of. I can tell you right now, especially here in Utah, being close to the Mexican border, we have more of the Mexican population working in our industry, legal or illegal. Don't know. Most of them we know is legal, but even the legal ones are scared shitless.
Right.
They don't want to drive anywhere. They don't want to get pulled over. They're afraid that just because, i.e. the color of their skin, you know, or their accent, that they're going to get blamed right away and shipped out here.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be on the focus now on family members that are living with them. And now they're going to be in trouble for letting them live with them.
Yeah.
They're scared shitless. And that's a huge part of our industry. And not only that, but like, let's be frank, the family heritage of people that come from, let's say, Mexico and have multiple generations of family living in a house and come up here and do the same thing, get by on less of a wage. And so suddenly we're getting rid of them and they're getting out of the industry and they're afraid and they're fleeing and all the above. Like, we're going to drive up costs of labor and we're going to lose people in the industry.
Yeah.
People that work their ass off. And that scares me. You know, so I think we're faced with huge increase in material. I think we're also going to be faced with dramatic increase in labor and less labor. And that hurts.
I think to both of those points, yes. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But I think I'll say this. So on the tariff side, it should peter out, right? Yeah. But it's not, the tariffs are going to hurt now and they're going to hurt for years to go. Mm-hmm. When that peter out is going to happen could be 10 years, could be 20 years, mm-hmm. right? Same thing on the border issue, right? Like, okay, we're going to lose a lot of labor, good labor. However, that could be the plus at the same time to get people off their ass and work.
Totally.
And have to work.
Totally.
But again, that's not going to be an overnight deal.
Totally.
That it could be a generation or two before it really becomes beneficial, I guess you can say, right?
Totally.
So I hear you. I hear you. And I don't know if I want to say I agree or disagree with tariffs or the border stuff.
Do it.
Take a stance.
Come on.
Now, neutral. I think there's a solution.
Totally.
However, I'm not likely.
Trigger word. I never say that.
Never.
Well,
I feel.
Actually, except for that one time, with all due respect. I don't know. It's one of those things where you just got to be like, all right, to fix this, we could do this, right? We do this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be bad for 20 years.
Yeah.
Are we good with that? Okay. How do you feel about it? Totally. I'm not digging that at all. Okay. What about you? Yeah, let's do it. Okay. So now where do we go? Do we make this happen? But I think there has to be a way for both sides to come to the table and be like, we all see what the problems are. We all understand what the problems are. And if you don't understand what the problems are, let's have a day or two and talk about those problems.
Yeah.
And then let's figure out what is the best way for this country to move forward.
Yeah.
If it is okay, we're going the drastic route, but maybe not all at one time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's two or three year process.
Isn't that though? Again, this goes back to the market's bipolar. It's a pendulum swing. Mm. isn't that how our we just raised our current societal nature to just be like, we swing one side, we swing the other. We rip off the bandaid. We totally disrupt the shit out of everything. and I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I totally don't agree with it. I agree with you of like, okay, let's figure out a way to work this in and figure out a way to work this in. I mean, flip side is I caught myself saying not too long ago, one of the hardest parts of my business, small business, is I can't just say, okay, I'm going to work on this department and ignore this department for a little while till I get this done. Yeah. And then I just got to move the whole damn ship forward at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's for sure times that I'm like, I got to hire, I got to sell, I got to change the software that we're working with, I got to change it. And I'm doing it all at once because I can't really just do part. So, I mean, I guess I am speaking out both sides of my mouth, you know?
No, I hear you on that. I mean, I don't mean it in a negative way, but it's your company, your dollars, your team.
You're totally right on that.
You have X amount of people that, I guess you could say, mouths that you're responsible for, right?
Yeah.
But on a national level, like you make a slight decision, it's got ripples.
Totally does.
Ripples, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think to your point, and this is where I think we can align, not to get into politics, because I know you don't like getting into politics.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's surface it, but it is a little political.
Oh, okay.
Right. My simple view and belief is that because both sides, i.e. you can't work together and it has to be this major pendulum swing either way, the best thing that I think we can do as people of our country and quite frankly, the financiers of our country and what it does is pull the power away from that ship and strip it down by piece, by piece, by piece. And the only way to do that is to, and this hurts because to your point, it hurts people. The minute you get rid of departments, people lose jobs. But I think the best thing we can do is get rid of unneeded departments that cause unmonitored spend.
Yeah.
Or spend that doesn't need to spend, because now the less spend they have or the less money they control, the less power they have, and the more we as the people have the ability to do it. So I'm a huge believer in privatizing everything we possibly can. Now, let's be frank, there's absolutely things that government, i.e. needs to step in and do, federal, local, state, whatever it is. There's a reason and a need for good government, but I actually think that they would be it'd be a lot more amicable if they weren't so powerful or controlling so much. So privatize as much as we can. And that's where I go back to like the building department. Privatize it. It's not right now. I don't think it's some huge benefit in building, you know, to have all these building departments and city trucks and expenses of people in the field and the insurance they have to carry and all the liabilities on us anyways. Just privatize that. And then create a competitive nature where there's multiple businesses fighting for my business that actually get a plan review done fast. They do a good job with it. They're liable for what they sign off on. And then I can walk in and say, hey, here's my green stamp, city. I'll pay my fees, but I don't have some 6-month holdup in trying to get my damn permit.
I could get on board with that for sure.
So,
even from your point, you get rid of that apartment and but now it's privatized, start a company.
Yeah.
Start a company. If you don't want to manage or run a company or just be an individual out there doing it, join somebody else's company.
Right.
Right.
Totally. And then it creates a competitive nature too, right? Because you have multiple companies doing it.
Right.
Y'all have code enforcement in the areas you live. Do you know what code enforcement is?
No.
You don't have any code enforcement?
Yes, I have lots. You know where I live.
So I was going to say, I think I know where you're
at. No, I have none.
I mean, listen, a lot of individuals have private security because they can't trust on government security to take care of them, right? So they hire private security. Mm-hmm. Do we really need to have the expense of code enforcement driving around because someone's dog shit on somebody else's lawn and they bitched about it?
Yes, we do.
really?
Yes.
Okay,
here's where she lives.
Chime in.
Ask her where she lives.
Because, I mean, it's like having the neighbor that accuses your construction crew of going to the bathroom in their yard. So, I mean, I don't know anyone that would happen to.
No, I don't know who.
We're just saying. Hypothetically.
Only a contractor would do something like that. There's a backstory behind it. No, I hear you, but what's wrong with asking somebody, communicating with them, like, and you disagree, sure, then call. I do think there's a need for a police agency within state and federal government, for sure. Like, I'm not saying not there. I don't think there's a need for code enforcement, because most code enforcement complaints are the neighbor has garbage in their yard that blew into my yard and I'm not willing to go talk to him. The neighbor's dog pooed on my lawn and I'm not happy about it. Like, and guess what? 9 times out of 10, the code enforcement officer is going to step in and try to act as a mediator. The minute it goes, let's call either legal or emotional, they step back and go, civil matter, we're out.
Yeah.
Because they have no control. It's now all of a sudden a civil matter. Go hire your own attorneys and deal with it. We have no involvement. I have code enforcement. No point in that.
No, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that point. But I still use them on my neighbor.
Of course. Zen. Of course you do.
Zen across the street.
Of course you do.
Whoa. Do a name.
Blank that out, right?
It's not his real name. I call it that. It drives me nuts. No, sure. He wanted, and being dead serious, he threw a big stink because all of us have our own Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was ruining the environment.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted us to all cut off our Wi-Fi and just call each other so we could all use one unit.
I'm perfect. Like, whoa. Yeah, that sounds fun.
All right, Zed.
Are you in an HOA?
Yes.
See, HOAs can go away too.
Yes, they can.
In fact, this is another area that I would come back and argue on. I believe, I have no data behind this, but challenge me on it. I believe that PUDs, private developments, are orchestrated for the city to go, we're out. It's private. Mm. We're not dealing with it. Good luck, homeowners. Create your own association and deal with it. And how often do those work out great?
Mm. Yeah, no.
Very rarely, not. I mean, most of the time, everyone knows some high horse that got put on the HOA because they want power and they want to be able to drive around the streets and act as a police officer or a Navy operator, like trying to control the Army operator controlling the neighborhood. Like, people have gotten psycho on those things. And what it is the city saying, okay, listen, developer, you want to get more density? You want to fit an extra lot or two or three or four? Cool. We'll give it to you. Do a PUD. Now we don't have to pay for the roads, the utilities, the landscaping, the house. We don't have to do anything with that. Private neighborhood, not ours. Mm. So again, like I've often found, I think we've heard in history that America was developed on the back of private developers' backs, right? Like, we built the roads, the infrastructure. We paid for it as individuals. Like, the cities don't come in to do that.
Right.
We put in the roads. And it's easier for them to say, yeah, go ahead and do it in a PUD, because we are no longer responsible to maintain and pay for that. Doesn't work out good. You have some jackass arguments about your Wi-Fi.
Every time.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to call you?
No, like, surprise.
Hey, Zen, I need you to get off because I need to check my email.
And homeowner, wouldn't you, like, 99.9% of homeowners walk out and go, why hasn't our road gotten plowed? Like, it snowed.
Yeah.
And what do they, like, automatically, like, call the city? Oh, we had, the HOA had to contract some private, like.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm almost going back to, like, city should control that. Like, there is a part of UDOT and public roads that I'm like, no, that probably needs to remain under city control.
Under city control, yeah.
Probably fire departments probably do. Police departments probably do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge advocate of a lot of the departments that need to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm just not for all the BS, you know, so.
The fluff ones.
Yeah.
Damn.
Start striking it, man. And again, you're right. It's hard because those people lose jobs. We're innovative. Jobs will come back.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out.
Yeah. So those are my two bigs I think a lot of that, the pendulum sway. And when I say bipolar market, I think that there's so many of these indicators that I go, we feel this, we're boots on the ground, we understand this, even the average resident feels this, but yet then we hear from news and media that, like, it's almost like total polar opposites, you know? And it's like, wait a minute, I think things are good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stock market looks good. Mm-hmm. Investments look good, but I don't feel good. It is bipolar by nature.
It's funny you say that, because you're right. Everyone feels they're safe. I'll say you're safe.
Yeah.
But you are not feeling that confident. Mm-mm. I'm really doing well belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see when that comes back, though.
Yeah. If you ask any of them, yeah, but how are your investments doing? They're up. We should be feeling great. What's society doing on spend? Spending's way up. You know, in fact, I just saw an article the other day that said the day after Thanksgiving is on record the busiest travel day of the year, not of the year, that we've ever had.
Whoa, are you serious?
Airport travel, yeah. Day after Thanksgiving was the most traffic our airports have ever had, record.
Really?
I think that's bullshit.
Is it?
Were you flying that day?
I was.
So you would know. Did you see a lot more people than you when you left?
No. Yeah.
Oh. So now, like,
even here we go. I left, I was like,
this like, is this is the conspiracy theorist in me.
Yeah.
Is that real? Because that was put out in mass media,
yeah,
so to speak. Like, can I even believe the media?
Believe what you see, not what you hear.
Okay. So he saw that it wasn't there. I heard that it was. But then I could back it up with, yeah, but core spending is way up. It's not going down. And everyone is seeming to travel and no one wants to work. No one has a full-time job anymore.
No, AI is taking over. That's why I was joking about believe what you see, yeah, not what you hear.
Yeah.
Because it's totally all fake.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just one of those things that we go back to, like, what do you believe? I mean, you believe the filling. Yeah. And to your point, when people go, we feel this pressure, our dollar, even if we have more of it, it's not going as far. And we feel it. And that's why, to your point, when we come back to spend, it's like, it's not as busy as it could be.
I mean, I've seen it worse, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, so
track builders are being a little more cautious about the investments they're putting into play. Homeowners are a little bit more finicky about whether they sign and do the deal or not. Mm-hmm. I do think it's because of all that. I think like all that, that's the point of like this whole discussion is saying, I don't think that it's just like the election. I think it's our new standard.
Yeah.
And I just think we need to find a balance in this erratic ups and downs, pendulum sways, whatever you want to call it. High market, low market.
We got
it's on, it's off.
We got to adjust.
Yeah,
it's just like that. So what do you think it's really going to take? Bottom line, something has to happen, correct? You think it's just the tariffs or do you think it's just over time? We're just kind of going to fall back into this is what life standards are.
I think this is life standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
This is the new status quo.
Yeah, so right? if I had to compare it back to my real life, I'd say I get home and kids are berserk, bouncing off the walls. And I'm like, holy chaotic environment. Mm-hmm. And what is like we do is dads, you know, you can speak this of like, you're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to learn to live with their shoes and backpacks and food and clothes and crap all over the house. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to freak out. Like, I do believe that you just kind of have to learn to have a steady mental capacity of like, listen, don't freak out because you heard this. Don't freak out. And I'm not saying be numb.
Yeah.
But like, don't follow what you hear and what you see and get in these same emotional sways. And I think we do get, a lot of us get caught in that same emotional sway. I'm great. I'm horrible. You know, we've got to have the mentality just like staying, maintaining.
Don't you think it's easier said than done though?
Totally. I mean,
just driving
totally.
Here, the difference mm-hmm. in people. Mm-hmm.
Well, from not where you people. Live to where we live, for yeah, sure.
I mean, I came down. I can't even breathe down here where y'all are. I mean,
Yahoo should have driver's really license.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so, yeah, it was heartbreaking. I almost called and said I couldn't come. I could see the layers. I came down into the filthiness.
That's gross. That's bad. Yeah, the inversion. Yeah, I think to your point, way easier said than done. And that's why, you know, again, if I'm trying to like put this all together, I do think that the younger generations, and it probably started around our generation, a lot of our friends and a lot of us are doing it, but it's way more prevalent in the younger generations. They are spending more time and more investment in different types of therapy, different type of meditational work, different type of like journeys and medicinal journeys to understand better who they are, because they're looking for that. I'm good in here. I'm mentally stable. I'm on an even keel. And even though the world around me, my kids are going crazy, I'm good here. I think they're taking more time to do that. And it's good. Yeah. It's healthy. Yeah. And that's where I applaud those younger generations of going, hey, we were raised totally different. I can't imagine trying to grow up what I know now and what they're doing, but they're just kind of like, yeah, deal with it. And I think there's a point where you go, okay, are they still dealing with it and seeing it, or are they numb to it? Cause that's a polar opposite again. So I don't know.
100%.
It's sad, no matter how you look at it, because if they are numb, they're so accustomed to it, they don't know any different.
Yeah.
Right.
And it kind of feels like that's where we are as a whole, as a country, is we're just kind of numb and we don't know what to do with
it. Yeah. Are we, though, or are we just mentally stable?
Maybe mentally stable.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think you could argue both sides.
Yeah, I think you totally could.
You know, and then, right. And then let's go back to like, okay, now let's get away from homeowners, you know, our clients, us as business owners. One of the hardest ones to control is the subcontractor world, because I do think there's a lot of instabilities there.
Yeah.
I think there's probably more than there are the other side of the mentally stables.
Yeah.
You know, because of hard life, you know, they've just been through the ringer, through a lot. And I see, I mean, you probably see it too, Dylan, with a lot of them, which is like, man, they're a loose cannon. This goes back to the discussion we had before we turned microphones on, that I'm like, yeah, it doesn't take much for them to explode. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Because they're already operating at a level that right. is just, I had one explode on me the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah. This no is a funny way. One.
Did you look yeah. at this person like they're crazy, or you're just like, oh, sorry, what?
It was a 30-minute argument, and I'm not going to get into the whole story.
Okay.
No
names.
No names. I'll give very, 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 very high
Jenner, level. Don't say the profession, nothing.
No, we signed a contract.
Okay.
I believe we fully fulfilled the contract, even though on the other side, dates were not kept in the contract, completion dates.
Okay.
And I will say, I felt like we were backed into a corner with contract variations and changes. The contract was increased exponentially on us. And because we got to the 11th hour going, well, what other options do we have? We just said, okay, fine, go ahead and increase it and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then dates were surpassed. And we paid the increased contract price.
Yeah.
And to go down to like the very, the final, you know, let's say straw that broke on a $35,000 contract, we paid $34,900. Follow me, $100 off.
Wow.
That snapped.
Are you serious?
Yeah. To the point to where I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm getting phone call, text message. Then, like, because you can see from the parking lot, you can see my conference room, and it was 5:30 at night. So it was like ending the day, lights are on, it's dark now.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this person standing out in the parking lot
doing this
to my conference room. And I said, guys, sorry, we have to end this. I need to go deal with this.
Right. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
For $100.
For $100. And it turned into a 30-minute argument that was this far away from getting physical.
That's deeper. That's a deeper issue.
Right.
For sure.
Totally sure. Now, I believe this is truly where I come from. We had paid a $100 expense for a physical bid for this person to go to the property and see and provide us a bid. What happened in the contract down the road is they never went. Which is why our contract price increased the night before when they went the day before and said, oh, this is more difficult than we thought. So we got to increase contract price. And we said, why do we pay $100 for a bid?
Right.
And then as we fast forward and say, okay, fine, we'll just sign it. We're good with it. We pay the final bill. We short paid $100 because the bid cost was accepted and that should have been credited towards the bid.
Right.
So in my belief, we fulfilled the contract 100%. The argument was over whether the $100 we paid him to physically go to the job that he never did should have been credited towards that contract or not.
That is insane.
Right. So for me, it was. And that's, you're right. That's where I was like, we know it's deeper.
Absolutely. It's deeper.
We know it's deeper. Mm-hmm. I was standing my ground simply because I was like, listen, you can't operate business this way.
Right.
Like I'm doing a disservice to my client, to me, to my employees, who is, if we've gone through the months of this work getting done and we're a month beyond the contract deadline that you put on, that you agreed to, I can't even. No, I'm not. It's principle. It's not the $100. It's principle here. And I am not going to.
Right.
I was that specific. The minute I walked out, I was like, no, I'm not having this conversation.
Right.
You would think that, I mean, you know me, like I can be kind, but rude.
Wow.
I was very kind, but rude.
Yeah.
And I was very assertive of like, no,
I'd have paid money.
He tried for 30 minutes to try to figure out how to tell me I was unethical, dishonest, you know, richer than him, so I should just pay it. I'm an SO. I mean, he went every way to try to like get me there.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. It's, say whatever you want to say, you know?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think to the point of why I mean that, like setting all that aside, the only point I bring that up is I really do think that because of the environment we're talking about, how people are raised, the pendulum swing, the highs and lows, the mixed messages that we get, the stress put in our environment, the liability that we take as subcontractors and contractors on a job with increased dollars. So if you're following me there, we now take on a lot more liability because it's more expensive to do the work we're doing.
Yeah.
That there's more stress and liability and more expense in insurances to cover our butts.
Right.
That's all of that is just stress that compounds. And then you take the same feeling that we and most neighbors and friends feel like, yeah, man, I mean, we're doing okay, but it's a little stressful.
It's different.
That little bit can send somebody off the hook. It's like,
that's scary.
Yeah. Y'all ever see the movie, is it Unhinged with Russell Crowe? I think it's Unhinged.
With Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
No, but I saw him in Gladiator, and I loved it.
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, we don't need to get into the whole thing of it, but basically, he total psychotic. Like,
yeah,
he ends up in a scenario where he's already lost, gone unhinged, murdered somebody. This is a movie, murdered somebody. He ends up in traffic at a stoplight. The arrow goes green. The car in front of him doesn't go. Or no, he's in front. The car behind him honks at him because he doesn't go, but doesn't just like tap. There's like lays on it. He pulls up alongside this person at the next light and unhinges on her. And it turns into a whole movie of him going after her. And it's just like, that is society. Like, you can't just honk at somebody anymore and be like, hey, it's a green light, go.
Yeah.
That person turns around with a gun in your face. Like, I can't just say, hey, dude, I disagree. I paid you that $100 and giving me the bid without it turning into almost a physical altercation. At some point, he said, in this lifetime, I will get that out of you. And I was like,
no, you
come
won't.
Get it.
Come get it right now. Come get it right now.
Literally, I said, come get it. You know, he took a step towards me. I said, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Oh, he had to look at your arms. That. He wouldn't.
I said, I wouldn't do that.
Just kidding.
You know, and he kind of stopped. But it's like, I'm like, man, I walked back in and the few people that were still in my office, like, everything okay? I was like, people have lost it. Oh, so I'm fine. I feel fully justified in what I did. I feel great, but people lost it.
People lose their
shit.
So wait,
just to bring this back to our point here, you're saying that we should trust in the people?
Just on a whole?
You know, you're saying that we're not mentally unhinged, but we kind of are sharing stories that we are. Yeah,
like here's the thing is like, I would like, believe it or not, naturally I'm a trusting person. I am. Like, I feel like naturally I think of the good in people. And when I sign an agreement or do a handshake with somebody, I feel like we're going to honor that. You know, like, hey, we had a handshake. We said that we were going to do that. And unfortunately, that's bit me in the past where now I'm like paperwork, contract, signed in place, deposit up front. Like, that's how we all have to operate.
Yeah.
So, I still think there's a good bone in people and people generally want to be good people. I just think that the environment in which people are currently operating in and is the new norm is generally you can't tell whether they're spiraled out of control and numb or just mentally stable. And it's like this, it's polar opposite.
Yeah.
It's bipolar. It's what we're talking about. So how do you determine if that person that you're going to do business with, homeowner or subcontractor, is unhinged and just not showing it because they're numb and they're going to freak out, or mentally stable?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a mix of both. And I think there's a lot of people on both sides. I would say generally the intent that I feel is a lot of the people that work in construction are on the more unhinged side. They just have a lot of pressures in their life.
Lots.
You know, and they're working their tail. And I've always kind of said, it is the people that get up at 4:30 a.m. and they hit a Maverick and pick up, you know, a hot dog and four Red Bulls or Rockstars on their way to the job. I'm like,
yeah,
And that's most of the guys in our industry, you know. And I, do you blame them? They're up at 4:30 trying to get the damn job to, to work for this asshole of a client and this stupid ass general contractor. Like, there's so many times I walk in a room like, okay, I'm the general contractor. I'm the asshole. Like, let's just get that out there. Like,
get that stereotypical. Out of there.
Here we go.
Just make sure. You know? Okay, we all understand that. All right.
Yeah. Let's go. You know, let's go. Then, like, this, let's kind of get to the intent here because we're getting a little bit late. How do we, number one, protect ourselves and our loved ones, you know, let's say in our general contracting environment, our business, our employees, our families, and yet still bring those people under the wing to say, hey, I got you. It's okay. Let me help you. Like, how do we create this stable environment so that we feel very confident in the product that we're building for the client we're working with? With all these legalities and liabilities in place that we have to have this as I'm protected every which way. That to me becomes the multi-million dollar question where I have been caught saying to friends, family, employees, and other people in my industry that all retire early from my industry because I don't think that we as a industry or we as an economy are doing the right things to allow us to keep operating in business. More liability, more attorneys, more threats, more expenses, more insurance.
You know, it's interesting though, really quickly, because I know we're wrapping this up. I think you can always tell a lot about a builder, about the people and their trades and their subs, and because they reply and they really care about who you are. Because one of the posts that you just posted on social media was about your employees, and your employees wrote back, I truly feel this way. And I think that says a lot about when you work with a custom home builder, really, if you can see that their employees trust them 1,000% and the community respects them, I would put my now $7,000 a square foot starter package with them because I would trust them. And I think that is very important on a whole. And I just respect that of you immensely.
Yeah. And the trade partners and other clients. Like 100%. I know contractors that they don't advertise, not even a little bit. And they get job after job after job after job based off of how they treated the clients, based on how they treated their trade partners and their team members.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's, I'm glad you said that. And it brings back that point, right?
Totally.
Like, why can't everybody just do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Can everybody just function like that? And maybe it's not, you have six different trade partners that work for 30 different contractors. Maybe there's six trade partners that work for six contractors, right? But they all just carry on and just go through build cycles and move through projects, but everybody's looking out for each other.
Not to elongate this, I was on a panel about 2 weeks ago as one of four speakers, and the panel was titled as a subcontractor, how to win more business from general contractors. So it was kind of them questioning us. And one of the other builders brought up changes on a job, and when a unapproved change order gets billed to the contractor from the subcontractor, hey, our contract's $5,000, all of a sudden I get billed $7,500 for changes that were done. And it's legit, you know, but immediately it puts us in a scenario where now we're now trying to kind of fight with our client of like, well, we let an unexpected spend happen that we didn't monitor. And he did a good job answering it. But before we moved on, I said, can I speak a little more clear to that? Number one, he basically said, we're trying to cover your ass on the job. Like, you're coming to us expecting to get paid, and we don't even know how we're going to get you paid, but you expect us to pay you. And I said, listen, I need to drive a point home on this, because first things first, when we go to the client to say, hey, sorry, we approved a spend that we didn't know how much it was going to be, and we hope you're okay with it, right? Like, how does that sound? We look like idiots. The first thing we remove is our profit. It's the first thing. We don't even argue. We walk into the environment with that client and go, hey, we're not going to charge you anything, just so you know. That's the very first. So we've already lost profit. And now we're in there trying to fend for our subcontractors, so that in theory kind of like did us wrong.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so oftentimes I look at that and I go, when we sit in an environment arguing over $100, I'm like, it blows my mind sometimes that I'm like, don't you realize the bullets that I've taken for you?
Yeah.
As the contractor, as the lead of our team, as the guy in charge,
yeah,
that's trying to, in theory, fight with the city on the inspections, the client, the other subcontractors, the bank on getting lending. Like, I'm trying to pull all this together, the attorneys, like everyone that's fighting with us to make sure I get you paid. And like, I'm not saying that as like, hey, I want you to just bow down to me. I'm saying it as like, listen, recognize as part of the team, this is what you're expecting me to do. So I'm expecting you to do your job too.
Give me a little grace, you know, here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting you to do your job. And I actually had this the other day where I said to a subcontractor, I said, listen, and then we'll be done because I know we got to wrap up.
Yeah.
I said, listen, it's not fair for you to go on the job and do, pardon my language, whatever the fuck you want and bill me however much the fuck you want.
No, it's with all due respect.
Yeah. With all due respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fair for you to go do that and then expect me to pay you on time and what our contract says. If you show up to my job and you do whatever you want and you bill me whatever you want, I'm going to turn around and pay you whenever I want, however much I want. So resonate with me. What I'm trying to say is, if we agree to this and you show up and do this, I will agree to exactly that and pay you exactly that. Like, that's good common business. And then we're now working together. We're trying to cohesively work together. Changes are going to happen. Communicate them with us.
Right.
You know, so I think that's like the big intent is I go back to, you know, Brandon's comment and say, do we all want to work together? We all have a job.
Right.
It's a lot easier for me to go back to a client when I say, hey, it costs you more, but it's because you didn't make decisions.
100%. 100%.
Right?
Right.
And we, I sell this a lot as a team, have responsibilities. So what's my client's responsibility? What's my responsibility? My subcontractor, the interior designer, the realtor, the engineer. We all have these responsibilities we expect to be kept up on. And if I can sit back and go, well, no, nothing's happened on your job. The subcontractor has a contract in place and they're not willing to budge on that unless you're willing to pay them more. You got to make the decision.
Right.
So job's going to stop until then. That's your job. Your job is to make decisions and write the checks. It's my job to control and do some quality assurance, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there is a lot of aspects that I fall under. And I go back to a lot of my subs and say, listen, I'll take bullets for you. I'll battle for you. I'll do my job. My job is to make sure you get paid and to make sure the work looks good. So yeah. I'll do my job if you can please do your job. Now, as long as we're on the same page, high five. That happens really well with a mentally stable person.
Great point.
Doesn't happen well with somebody today. No,
$400.
I'm assuming your relationship's kind of battered there, and you probably won't be working them for a little.
Yeah.
Just small pause. It's just a pause.
There is one point to put in on that because I don't want to end on like a sour note. It is okay for certain subcontractors and certain general contractors to not work together. Even when you're friends, when you say our businesses don't align,
yeah,
recognize it and be okay with it.
Yeah,
that's totally fine. There are times that you interview each other and go, I'm not really good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Our contract doesn't align there. That's not our ethical practice, or that's not our motto of how we run our business. 100%. Be okay with that. There's been times I've worked with friends that I've met, you know, in my environment that I'm like, you sound like a cool guy. Yeah. I'm a cool guy. Let's work together. Yeah. You do one job and you're like,
no,
let's just be cool, but not work together.
We're good.
And honestly, I've savored a lot of friendships by just being like, nah, we're good.
100%.
Let's just not do it. I'll refer you out when it fits your glove.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't fit my glove. It's okay.
I think it was a great conversation. That was a really good conversation.
This was probably my favorite one.
Oh, really?
Being dead serious.
It's because we gave you a mic.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's all good. Why was it your favorite? You got 2 seconds.
Because one, I think it kept my attention. No, because I think it's points that are legit. No, I think people really have this question. And people really want
They just want to know.
No.
Just want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the intent. It's like we are trying to get.
Good answer.
Yeah.
They found us.
We are trying to get to a point of, you know, this is to open up about our market, our industry, and, you know, what is going on in that. And that's, I think we've got good heads in here to do that. And I love it. It's fun.
Absolutely. All right. Peace. We're out of here. Charity, send us out. She's going to say something funny. Watch.
No, I'm not. I'm still available. I'm still looking for a man that just has a job.
Awkward.